it's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, we are here for another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, joined as always by my twin brother Andrew Robinson. Today we got a special guest. We have a former coach of ours over at Quinnipiac and current Boston College assistant coach Anthony Goins. So Coach G, man, thanks for hopping on with us today.
I appreciate it, man. It's good to see y'all, man, and good to see you guys doing well in your industry and still in your professional careers, man. I'm really excited to hop on with you guys, man, and be able to catch up.
For sure, man. As always, want to remind you guys to give this podcast a like. Make sure you guys are subscribing, you know what I'm saying? Give us a retweet, a like on social media, man. It definitely does go a long way. Tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. And, of course, listen to my guy, Pull Up Tay's music. He's on the intro and the outro of his new video, I Need It, is out now. Make sure you guys are listening to that as well, man. But like I said, man, we got a special guest, Coach Anthony Goins, assistant coach at Boston College, man. But, you know, you've had a rather quick, you know, rise up through this coaching profession. Obviously, you coach us at Quinnipiac a few years back, and before that, you were obviously at Yale, before that, Dartmouth, and obviously before Boston College, you had a stint at Clemson, man. Just talk to us a little bit about how you kind of got into coaching and, you know, your time at each of those stops, and then, you know, obviously now, you know, what has brought you to Boston College today?
Well, you know, man, like, to be honest with you, man, I think God has done some amazing things for me, you know, and sometimes it's things you can't explain. But man, I think I've really been really, really blessed and really fortunate for the opportunities at every single stop that I've had, including prep school. You know, I've learned a little bit at every single spot, worked under some amazing coaches and just tried to continue to get better. But most importantly, try to remember that somebody trusted you with their child. You know, when it really hits home, when you have your own, but somebody trusted you with their child. And I think that's just as important as, you know, the X's and O's and things like that, man. And, you know, really making it about the players, you know, about the team, and making sure that, you know, those guys know that you love and care about them. So, you know, I think every single stop that I've had, I've you know, had some amazing experiences, worked with some great coaches, learned something from everybody. And so, man, I just want to continue to be in a space where, you know, I'm continuing to grow and learn, and being able to impact the guys that we come in contact with every day.
Now, obviously, you know, this is going to be your first season this year at Boston College under head coach Earl Grant. He was obviously named head coach there this offseason. What about Coach Grant made you want to come and join his staff at Boston College this year?
Yeah, so Coach Grant has been a mentor of mine for a number of years. You know, we just kind of connected. I had been doing some recruiting down in Charleston, and I would stop in. This was years ago. This might have been when I was at Yale. And, you know, got an opportunity to meet him and just be able to talk to him, spend some time with him. And, you know, he always encouraged me and poured into me. And so, you know, I was at an unbelievable situation at Clemson. And, you know, just and part of it was, you know, he used to work there and kind of made the connection for me as well, too. But I know Coach Grant's a great coach and, you know, has done an amazing job at every single stop that he's gone to. He's a, you know, a player's coach who really, really cares about the guys, you know, has an unbelievable work ethic, has a chip on his shoulder, a no complaining type of guy. And also, you know, I think he's a guy that really pours into his staff and does a great job of just really encouraging you to be a better coach, a better mentor, a better, you know, grow in your faith. You know, is definitely something that we, you know, talk about at length, and it's something that's super needed. And so, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity. And again, I was at, you know, some unbelievable stops, and Clemson was a great place and loved it. And still have great relationships with the people over there, and the guys were amazing, but definitely excited about the opportunity to work with Coach Grant as well and do something special.
Now, you guys recently wrapped up your summer workouts. Obviously, getting ready to get the guys back on campus for the fall semester. I mean, just, you know, talk about what your first few months have been like at Boston College, what the summer session was like, man, and what you feel like you guys were able to accomplish in the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever you take over a program, I think it's important to really get to know the people that are in the program, you know, and obviously there's players that get that are still here, you know, from the previous staff that are great kids and unbelievable people. And they need to know you. They need to know you. Like, you got to put yourself in their shoes for a second. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty for them. So them getting to spend time with you and getting to spend time with the staff is a huge benefit for them. And then also them learning what the level of expectation is going to be, but also being able to get to know people in the athletic administration and, you know, just get to know more and more about the school and be excited about the opportunity and make sure that, you know, you are knowing who everybody is and, you know, and really starting to develop that community. But I think this summer, man, we focused a lot, obviously, on getting better, but we focused a lot on trying to spend as much time with the guys as possible, you know, and getting to know them, getting to know the coaches, you know about our personal lives and just really starting to develop that cohesiveness a little bit, you know, while, again, obviously trying to get better and, you know, and putting in concepts and things like that. But, you know, just a lot of time really, really strengthening relationships because, again, like you have to get to know these kids and get to know, you know, and help them feel comfortable in a new environment.
Now, this is now your second time joining a staff, coming into the program in year one. Obviously, when you took over at Quinnipiac, I can remember, obviously, you joining Coach Dunleavy's dad was first head coaching opportunity at Quinnipiac. And just that first summer, that first spring, really, honestly, you know, just trying to instill a new culture, right? And obviously, you're now doing that again at Boston College, just trying to come in there in Coach Grant's first year there and, you know, instill a new culture. I mean, just talk about what that's been like and kind of the similarities from when you did it at Quinnipiac with Coach Dunleavy to now, you know, having to do it again at Boston College. You know, what you notice things that are similar and as well as things that might be, you know, a little bit different this time around?
Well, you know, I think, you know, a little bit different when we took over at Quinnipiac. Like, you know, there was a really, really strong, like, you know, a good amount of like older players in the program, which was awesome. You know what I mean? Which was awesome. You know, to be able to work with some older guys and stuff like that. You know, I think this situation, and every situation is going to be a little bit different. You know, the guys here have been great, man. Like, they come in and work hard every single day. They've been handling business in the classroom, and, you know, they're a pleasure to be around every single day. But I think the whenever you take over a program, you know, first and foremost, you're trying to establish those relationships and really get to know them. You know, I think the same thing at Quinnipiac, we really tried to dive into getting to know you guys and you guys understanding about us and understanding that we were there to try to help. And try to, you know, be a positive person in your life. And so there's some similarities in terms of that. There's always going to be, you know, little differences based on, you know, where the program was, the style of play and all that. There's always going to be a little bit of differences with that. You just got to kind of adjust, you know, and everybody's culture is going to be a little bit different. So there's always going to be some differences. But I think the most important thing and the similarities and coming into it is that, hey, man, we're trying to do something, special. We're trying to build something. But you can't be you can't try to rush the process at all. You can't try to rush the process and just like get it done, you know, over a summer. You know, you want to build something that's going to be sustainable.
Now, talk about, you know, your players. Obviously, you know, anytime you bring in a new staff, you're going to have guys that come and go, transfer in and out. You guys also have a group of core players that are returning. Obviously, you know, a Matt guy who played against like Quinnipiac and Fred Scott. You got the Lang brothers, but Talk about some of the guys that you guys are kind of excited about and, you know, looking forward to having a big year this upcoming season.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's always good, again, when you got guys that just been in college for multiple years, you know, and have spent time being a part of other programs and know what it takes, you know, and have had their own successes, have had their own failures, and are able to talk to younger guys about it as well. I think the great thing with all of our older guys, Makai, Fred Sky, James Karnick, all of our guys who, you know, have been around for multiple years, man, they've done an unbelievable job of just coming in and being really coachable. Being excited every single day, taking to, you know, our coaching style, taking to the different drills and just coming in, you know, kind of bright eyed, ready to learn and get better. And I think when younger guys see that, you know, it's like, OK, cool. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. So, man, I got to tip my hat off to those guys because they've been, you know, all of our older guys are seniors and things like that. They've done a really, really good job of kind of coming in and just being really open to whatever it is that we bring. You know, they haven't questioned anything. They just kind of attack it every single day. So that's always a pleasure when you have those situations. But we're excited about all of them. You know, excited to really get into the fall and be able to you know, have more workouts and put in more time with one another and just, you know, have some sweat equity, as Coach would say.
You guys were able to, you know, head into the portal. You guys took TJ Bickerstaff from Drexel, and also obviously was able to get Brethren Galloway from College of Charleston to come with you over to Boston College. Talk a little bit about those two guys and, you know, what you guys are expecting from them this season. You know, obviously Brevin just got cleared a little while ago after tearing his ACL last year. I mean, how is he looking in the summertime and his recovery process? And, you know, what are you guys looking for out of those two older guys coming into the program this year?
Yeah, well, Brevin did an unbelievable job of really pushing hard in his rehab and getting better and trying to fight to get himself to 100% healthy. He did a really, really good job and stayed disciplined. But the great thing about Brevin, and again, we talked about older guys, and I kind of talked about the guys who were older that were in the program already. But Brev, you know, another like really, really vocal guy, man, even if he wasn't, you know, in the workouts, and he would do the workout as long as he could until we got to something that he wasn't cleared to do yet. But you were consistently hearing his voice. And I think he brings a level of leadership as well as an older guy who's been in college for multiple years. Even though he's just coming in, he brings a different kind of perspective because he's been a part of Coach Grant's system, a part of Coach Grant's culture, has seen it, you know, saw it when it grew and been a part of, you know, doing something special that many people didn't think they could do. But he knows what Coach Grant's expectation is. So, you know, he's able to bring the juice every single day, bring the fire every single day, be on top of details and help guys and pull guys to the side and say, hey, coach, I want it like this or like that. So I think that's been a huge help as well. You know, aside from his ability to shoot the ball and be aggressive and be a big physical guard, I think that's been a huge contribution for our program, you know, up to this point. And, you know, TJ's a great kid coming from an unbelievable program in Drexel and, you know, obviously a great family in basketball and everything like that. And he's another guy that just brings his hard hat every day, works hard and makes sure that he's getting an extra time and really asks questions about things to try to get better.
Now, one thing I want to talk about, you know, that I think a lot of people don't really know about Coach Grant. Obviously, you know, he came from Charleston and, you know, being a mid-major podcast, you know, mid-major platform, you know, we were able to, you know, dive in a little bit of these things. But, you know, I'm back at Charleston. A lot of people don't know this. You know, he was able to have three NBA players, you know, on the team with Keeley, Grant Riller, and Jarrell Brantley. All these guys who actually logged minutes in the NBA. And I mean, from you, obviously, you know, you coached at Quinnipiac, Yale, Dartmouth. Like, you know how rare that is to have three guys who played in the NBA on one team at a mid-major school, you know, like Charleston. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people don't give, you know, Coach Grant enough credit for, you know, the recruiter that he is and for the job that he really did, you know, at Charleston. I remember this offseason, a lot of people were – floating around like a lot of different names for BC and Coach Grant when he got the job was kind of like, oh, wow, like, you know, why did he get the job? But for guys that really know, you know, what he was able to do at Charleston and the team that he was able to put together, obviously being able to reach the NCAA tournament. I mean, just kind of talk about that aspect, you know, talk about Coach Grant as a coach and maybe some things that people, you know, wouldn't really know about him.
Yeah, man, he's one of the most even-keeled. Like he's a fiery competitor, but one of the most even-keeled and humble-spirited people, you know, walking earth, you know, unbelievable family man, unbelievable coach and mentor, incredibly smart about the game as well. And really does a great job of encouraging people. And I think, you know, the players feed off of that as well. I think, you know, he gets on guys, but he's going to get on them in an encouraging way to try to bring the most out of them. And, you know, obviously he does a great job recruiting too, but I think, you know, also an understanding he did a great job developing too, because none of those guys were perceived to be NBA guys before they got there. You know, and I think it's through just having great relationships. I think when you got a great relationship with your head coach and you know he's got confidence in you and he's not trying to, as coach would say, incarcerate your game, obviously wants you to do what you need to within the realm of the team and what's important for winning. But also understanding that, hey, man, I've been on the floor with him and watch him working on this shot and that shot. Like, so if he takes it, like, hey, man, like I was out there rebounding for him when he did it. And Coach Grant, you know, he's still young enough where he loves to get out there and still mix it up and guard guys and things like that. And so, you know, it's again, great for the guys. And obviously they were able to accomplish something special. But, you know, I think a lot of it just comes from the amount of time that they put in the gym. Again, you know, his mind towards the X's and O's part of it, as well as the importance of the kid understanding that, hey, man, I'm in this with you. And so, you know, you get kids that are doing things that, hey, man, people didn't think they could do, or maybe that's not a, you know, from the outside perspective, it doesn't seem explainable. But, you know, sometimes it's just when a group of guys come together for a common goal and everybody's just all about working, then some amazing things happen.
Now, you've had the opportunity to work, obviously, we talk about, you know, Coach Grant now, obviously, worked for Brad Brownell at Clemson, Baker Dunleavy at Quinnipiac, I mean, James Jones at Yale. I mean, you've had the opportunity to work for some great head coaches, obviously, along your staffs. I mean, what have you been able to take, you know, from those guys along the way, you know, and obviously, you know, you obviously kind of trying to build your own land, your own identity as a coach as well. I mean, just talk a little bit about that, what you've been able to take from your past mentors and bosses over the years.
Yeah, man. Like you said, Coach Brownell, most recently, unbelievable basketball mind. You know, you got to have your notepad ready when you sit next to him, because it's going to come out. And every other day, you're going to catch something like, man, like I never thought about it that way. But, you know, really got an opportunity to just learn new concepts and just see, you know, how fast his mind worked with things and be able to pick up concepts and just how to teach. He did a really, really good job of teaching as well too. You know, but you know, again, all the way back to Paul Cormier and my first job at Dartmouth, and Jeff Ruskin when I coached in prep school. I've you know, Coach Dunleavy, you know, all of them. You know, I've picked something up from every last one of them. But I would probably say the most consistent thing, you know, with all of them, and again, they're all have great basketball minds, are great motivators, you know, and have had unbelievable success in their careers. But like, just being able to know how it is that you want to play, and going at it aggressively. You know, I think the players will feed off of your personality and feed off of, you know, what it is that you're trying to do. So you have to take something and make it your own. And you have to genuinely believe in it, because if you're a little up and down with it, or you're trying to emulate too many people and it's not you, then it's never going to be as sharp as you want it to be, because, you know, they're going to feel that, hey, man, like what you're trying to do isn't you. So just really, really being able to spend time and understand what your personality is, understanding that your style of play is probably going to mirror your personality a little bit. And so, you know, when you know that, be able to, again, you're going to, you know, take things from every single coach, but take them and figure out a way to make them your own. And so that, like, as a coach, you have to go out there and be confident in what you're coaching and your coaching style. And you got to be confident in your relationships. You got to be confident in your staff. You got to be confident in your player development. And you have to walk in that game, you know, understanding that, hey, man, like, you know, we're supposed to win. And when you do that, when you have that level of kind of confidence, but also understanding that we should feel that way because we put in the work to do it. But whatever it is, like, just be aggressive at it.
Now, I do want to talk about, you know, your time at Clemson, because, you know, me and Ace are also, you know, kind of outside, you know, Clemson fans, because our guy, one of our guys, Marquise Reed, you know, played at Clemson. So we've been following them for a while, man. And, you know, from the outside looking in, man, Clemson's obviously, you know, a big-time football school, right? And I think, you know, deservingly so for the things that they've been able to do on that side. But I remember when Marquise was there, man, they went to the Sweet 16, you know, losing to Kansas. You know, last year, nobody thought Clemson was really going to be any good. And you guys made it to the NCAA tournament and got a 7 seed, you know, and surprised a lot of people, you know. So can I talk about, you know, just what you guys were able to do last year at Clemson, kind of reflecting on that season, and then also just about the basketball program at Clemson, you know, in general, kind of how you guys have been able to have success over there despite the magnitude of the football program.
Yeah, man. Just, again, just focusing on what the things that you can control. Obviously, you know, you're going to go to different spots, and, you know, there may be some sport that, you know, kind of is perceived at as the, you know, the most well-known sport or whatever it may be. But, you know, I think you just got to come in every single day and focus on the things that you can control. Having great people around you. I think, you know, at every single stop that I've been at, it's been the head coach did an unbelievable job of surrounding and really creating a team with the staff. And so, you know, when you have those things, again, then you start putting together teams of people whose personalities matched, whose guys are pushing each other every single day. You're able to accomplish some great things, man. And, you know, again, Clemson was a great spot in terms of, you know, having great culture, having great people, but definitely excited about the opportunity here at Boston College to create our own, And in year one, just really trying to really set the foundation of that. Because again, you know, we want to establish something with longevity.
Yeah. I mean, no, go ahead, Ace.
I was going to ask something a little different. I don't know if you had a follow-up that you wanted to ask.
No, you can go ahead. It's okay.
Coach D, we spoke about this a little bit in the past, but I mean, obviously, this offseason, I believe at one point over like 70% of the openings had gone to African-American coaches. I think by the time it ended, it tailed off at around like 50, 51%. Obviously, Coach Grant was one of those recipients, being an African-American coach, to be able to get an opportunity at a head coaching job. I mean, obviously, you're an African-American coach. Just talk about a little bit about your responsibility, you know, as an African-American coach, and then also the importance to give African Americans, you know, opportunities, and, you know, just that whole dynamic with this offseason, being able to see so many African Americans get opportunities to become head coaches in general.
Man, it was great to see. It was great to see, man. There's a lot of, you know, deserving coaches, you know, black head coaches and black assistant coaches deserve an opportunity. And so whenever those guys get an opportunity, man, to kind of break down stereotypes to whether, hey, man, it's, you know, black coaches are just recruiters or motivators or whatever it may be, when they get an opportunity to go in and be able to, you know, showcase what they can do and be able to, you know, and I think more importantly, be able to affect some young people's lives at a broader scale. You know, as a head coach, man, I think there's a ridiculous amount of guys that do an unbelievable job that, you know, it may not go noticed or doesn't get as much publicity. So anytime, you know, those guys are getting opportunities and getting a chance to be head coaches, man, I'm super excited for them. And, you know, as that's happened this year, and I think you're going to see some great programs emerge, you know, under these head coaches. And hopefully it opens doors for some guys behind them and helping those guys get an opportunity, because I know with some great young coaches coming up in the profession, they're going to be amazing. You know, I run into them every single day, you know, that I'm on the road and things like that. And you walk away and go, man, that guy's going to be really good in this business one day. And so, you know, the obviously the goal is to just be able to, you know, have consistent, you know, equality in terms of opportunities. Again, with the amount of coaches that are in the business and in the profession, that have done some amazing things and you know, deserve an opportunity. But again, you know, I'm excited to work with Coach Grant here. And, you know, he's another one that's affected so many people's lives and always looking to bring up other coaches and things like that, man. So I'm excited for the work, you know, ahead. But also, again, you know, excited to see some other young coaches get opportunities in the future.
Now, Coach, man, you know, we would be dropping the ball, man, if we didn't reflect back on our time together at Quinnipiac, man. You know, the glory days, as I like to call it, man.
Yeah.
When you look back at that time, man, I mean, what is your fondest memory, just, you know, of your time at Quinnipiac and coaching, you know, your favorite athletes, you know, me and Ace, you know, just what do you remember most about those days?
You guys are definitely top two. You know what I mean? I'll let you guys fight over who's number one and who's number two, but you guys were definitely top two guys I've coached. No, man, like that opportunity was awesome in terms of, you know, the amount of work that we put in together. And even that first year of like being able to go to the MAC tournament and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you guys had won a game in the MAC tournament, you know, as some older guys, man. And so to be able to see you guys and you know, all the kind of seniors and juniors that had kind of been through the wars, to be able to see your faces after, you know, winning in the MAC tournament, like, man, like that meant the world to me. That meant the world to me to sit in that locker room. And to be honest with you, it was one of the most, obviously you lose games and things like that, man. But I was so upset after we lost that last game, that first year, emotional, because I wanted it for you guys. I wanted, you know, you guys to be able to experience another win. And man, the joy that you guys had, and the excitement for each other during that time, it was something amazing to watch. And so, that's probably my fondest memory of like just the daily grind, the good days, the bad days, the days that I know, you know, you guys are probably questioning, are we doing the right thing, whatever it may be. But you guys just showed up with an unbelievable energy and unbelievable attitude every single day, no matter what. And to see you guys have some success at it at the end, man, it was great. It was great to see.
Now, Coach, for those that don't know, you know what I'm saying? You were like a workout guru, man. I remember during my senior year, I want to get this on the record for this podcast. I remember Drew with a red shirt, and your pregame red shirt workout used to definitely be legendary. Now, I recall one day, you know, me and you, we would have our pregame workouts before every home game, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember one day I was walking onto the court, and you were walking off the court, and you were talking. Y'all, you just got a dub. Wasn't it all Drew? Like, who did you beat?
Oh, I wasn't playing. It was Kev. It was Kev and Nate, I believe. Or Nate was on the
team. I remember I see Cody on the court. I think it was him and AT, wasn't it?
And they beat Kev and Nate.
AT had
some good workouts.
My guy, Coach G, you know what I'm saying, definitely used to get a few dubs back in his day, you know what I'm saying, man. I wanted to get that on the record. Now, I know it was Drew or not, you know what I'm saying, so I want to eventually clear that up on the air.
Nah, man, I let, you know, Drew and them boys is a different group, man. I let them boys get that mid-post working, that mid-post bumping. That's That's when that real trench work was happening. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Sir.
I don't know if Kev and Nate was ready for that yet. But no, man, it was always a pleasure working out with all you guys. Again, man, you guys were gym rats and love being in there working every single day. And so, you know, it's always fun, man, because as a competitor too, and you know, somebody wants to be out there too. It's great when somebody else is, when the guys are bringing energy and you don't feel like you have to pull it out of them every single time in terms of their energy level, man. So it was, man, I enjoyed that every single day that we worked out before every single game. It was always fun and definitely some memorable times, man. And, you know, excited to do the same here, man. You know, guys got a high excitement level and, you know, want to be in the gym, man. So I enjoy getting on the floor with them. And, you know, man, I'm a couple years older since the last time I jumped out there with y'all boys. So I don't know how it's going to go, man. But every once in a while, I'll jump out there when I need to.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, man, you know what I'm saying? Now you in the ACC, you know, then ones might be a little different. The ones,
hey, ones are ones now, though. Ones are ones now. Ones are ones.
Hey, you still get active in the ones? Is that what you saying to me?
I'm saying I'm getting a little older. And I just turned 35 now, man. So I got to, you know, learn how to demonstrate with my words a little better.
Hey, man, I'm still staying on them workouts, man. Hope you ain't over there. You was down south at Clemson, man. I know they eat good down there in South Carolina, man. I hope you weren't down there, you know what I'm saying?
No, man.
Cheeseburgers, man.
I stayed solid, man. It was hard, but I stayed solid. You know, actually, this move up to Boston, you know, with all the moving parts, has gotten me off my routine. So, you know, I'm excited to get back going and get back to my workouts. I just got a Versa climber, so I heard that thing is a beast. So we're gonna see what it's hitting for.
Now, Coach, I do want to ask you one question. Just kind of on saying that, man. I mean, there's something that a lot of people don't understand with being an assistant coach. Just having to move your family around so much. Obviously, in the past few years, you've moved from obviously Dartmouth, which is New Hampshire, to Connecticut, down to North South Carolina, now up to Boston. I mean, talk about the dynamic just having to, you know, have a wife, have a kid, and being able to explain that, like, you know, we have to move again. You know, we were here for 2 years, and now we're going, moving again. Just talk a little bit about that aspect.
Yeah, man. It's definitely a difficult situation, man, because it's not just you. You're uprooting people from schools, from jobs, you know, from the people that they have relationships with, and things like that. I think it helped a little bit in terms of, you know, my last couple moves at Clemson. My dad actually used to live in Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, I knew some of the coaches on the staff already. And, you know, so it helped a little bit in terms of that. You know, I had some relationships outside of Clemson basketball, too, that I had from spending time down there with my dad and things like that. But, you know, when you got a family, like, they're constantly having to develop new ones and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely hard and something that you really, really think about. And that's why you have to sit down with them and understand, hey, you know, let them air out their concerns about things and be able to have answers for those and come to a decision about, like, what's going to be best for your family, not just your basketball career, but your family as a whole. And so, you know, putting aside, you know, anything that may kind of hinder that decision and really locking in on the things that's important to you and your family. And so, you know, they're just now getting up here, man, but really excited to get to know Boston even more. Obviously, we had been up here in the Northeast before, and, you know, have some family in the Northeast as well, too. So that helps a little bit, but excited to get to develop a Boston family as well.
Not for sure.
And I think, you know, having a great staff whose families are involved as well kind of helps with the transition, because, you know, everybody's kind of in the same boat a little bit where, you know, they're kind of making some moves and transitions and things like that. And so when families can start getting together and, you know, at least you kind of know somebody within the basketball family already. So it's great.
No, for sure, man. Shout out to the husbands and wives, man, of these basketball coaches, man, that
definitely,
you know, sacrifice a lot, you know, for coaches to be able to do what they do, man. So definitely made it shout out, man, because I know it's not easy. It's not easy, man.
100%.
I definitely want to thank you for coming on, Coach, man. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you, man. Definitely going to be tuned in to you guys this season, man. Wishing you guys the absolute best of luck at BC. Hopefully, like I said, we can get you guys on again, you know, once you guys are busting down the NCAA tournament, you know, right down there, man. We know you guys are going to make that happen, man. But, again, man, it's been a pleasure catching up, Coach, and, you know, thank you for your time today.
Oh, man, again, I appreciate it, man, and really, really happy and excited for you guys and, you know, excited that I was able to come up and talk about Boston College basketball, man. And, you know, again, I think it's a great opportunity. You know, BC has a huge winning tradition and winning history. You know, when you go back to, you know, a lot of the teams that were in the Big East, and even as they transitioned early on to the ACC, like they still had a lot of success. And Al Skinner did an unbelievable job with it. And so, you know, I think that kind of gets lost a little bit, you know, because of the most recent history. But, you know, BC's a winning program, man. And so success always leaves a trail. So we're excited to kind of follow that trail and understand that Boston's an unbelievable place to live, an unbelievable place to play. Boston is a championship city. It's a championship city. You know, you go through the down the line, whether it's the Celtics, the Bruins, the Red Sox, the Patriots, like it is a championship city. So we're excited to bring that same level of energy and work ethic to Boston College too.
Sure, man. Well, like Drew said, man, definitely looking forward to seeing you guys do that, man. Again, we definitely want to remind you guys, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing, giving us a rating, whatever you listen to this podcast, Spotify, Apple. Also, make sure you guys are giving us a retweet, giving us a like on social media, and make sure you guys are streaming my guy, Pull Up Tay's music. Again, his project, Life Ain't Fair, is out now, and the video for I Need It is on the way, so make sure you guys are tapping in with my guy, Pull Up Tay's music, man. And this has been another episode of The Auto Bed, so we're going to let my guy, Pull Up Tay, take us out with some music, man. And until next time, boys. You beating on me? I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.